This is Encounter on VOA. Here's Carol Castillo.
Welcome to Encounter on the Voice of America. Hello, I'm Rick Pantaleo for Carol Castiel. More than 150 years after the last shots of the U.S. Civil War were fired, a passionate debate rages among many Americans over whether statues erected in honor of those who led and fought for the Confederacy should be removed from public display. Those demanding the removal of Confederate memorials say the statues honor the institution of slavery and the oppression of African Americans. Others who want the memorials to remain say the statues are of historic importance and represent the heritage of people who sacrificed their lives to protect their traditional way of life against what they perceived as a tyrannical United States government. While recent polls show a majority of Americans want the statues to remain in place, the controversy has left many divided along cultural, racial, and political lines. Today I have three guests who will join me to examine the various aspects of this controversy. To get a little historical context on the issues surrounding the debate, I talk with my first guest, James Grossman. He is the executive director of the American Historical Association, based here in Washington, D.C. Jim, can you tell us a little bit about the history of the creation and erection of statues to honor those who led and fought for the Confederate States of America?
The early wave of erection of these statues was in the period about late 1890s up to nearly 1920, which is the period in which Jim Crow laws were created in the South requiring, not permitting, but requiring segregated spaces, as well as the disfranchisement of African-American voters in the South. So the statues erected during that period in many ways had two purposes. One of them was to, in essence, forge unity among white Southerners, to say to white Southerners, we all fought for a glorious cause. These are heroes, and we can all unite, regardless, rich, poor, men, women, we can all unite to honor this part of our heritage. But it was also a way of telling African Americans in the South what their place was by putting these large statues of people who had died in defense of the system of slavery. It was basically to tell African Americans what their place would be in this new South. And then the second wave comes in the 1950s and the 1960s and is very much a response to the civil rights movement. And there you see not only erections of statues and monuments, but renaming. I mean, you have actually, I think, some smoking guns here in terms of proof. You have in 1949 the renaming of Presbyterian Cemetery in Lexington, Virginia for Stonewall Jackson. There is no Civil War anniversary there. Why 1949? Well, this has to do with contemporary politics at the time and the desegregation, for example, of the armed forces by President Truman. Even more striking is just after Brown versus Board of Education, in the late 1950s and in the early 1960s, you see a wave of renamings of Southern public schools after Confederate generals and Confederate politicians. So again, the focus on the schools during this period, right after the Supreme Court decision desegregating public schools, is not coincidental. So this is the context in which these things are created. There's a specific political and social purpose in both of those eras.
What do you say to people who have looked at history and say that the construction of the statues in the early 1900s, early 20th century, is a reflection that many of the Civil War veterans who served on the Confederate side of the Civil War were dying at that time, and I guess families wanted to honor their sacrifice?
I can understand that, but quite frankly, many Confederate soldiers died during the war, died soon after the war, and what a coincidence that they start building these right in the period when they're also starting to create this new legal regime. So I think you'd have to show me a graph that shows a coincidence of deaths of Confederate veterans with the building of monuments, and I don't think you could create that graph. I think the graph that would show the coincidence would be lynchings and disfranchisement laws.
The roughly 10-year period following the Civil War, which ended in 1865, is called the Reconstruction. It was trying to rebuild the South again. I take it during that period there weren't any monuments being erected.
I doubt that there were very many. I'm sure there were a few.
Getting into the argument, the current debate about whether or not the symbols in statues honoring the Confederacy should remain, many of those who oppose removal of the Confederate memorials and symbols say that doing so robs them of their heritage and culture. Do you agree?
No, I don't think it robs anybody of their heritage or culture at all. I mean, I assume that people who are making that argument do not want to say that either their heritage or their culture lies in an attempted creation of a nation that exists purely to protect slavery. I would hate to think that. So I don't think it's a matter of heritage, it's a matter of culture. I mean, look, if these statues were purely to honor the dead, were purely to honor military heroes as opposed to some other political purpose, why is there no statue or very few statues of General Longstreet? The reason there's no statues of General Longstreet is that General Longstreet committed the sin of being in favor of African-American voting rights in the 1870s. So, no, I don't think this is not a matter of heritage. It's not a matter of culture. It's a matter of what the purpose of these things were. You don't need statues to preserve history. Statues in public places are there to honor particular things. And we honor people who deserve honor. And there are many aspects of Southern culture, of Southern heritage, that deserve being commemorated and honored. I think what people here are saying is that the particular event of secession and the establishment of the Confederate States of America is not one of those things that deserves public honor.
Let's go into the recent statement by President Trump. He was quoted as saying, "This week it is Robert E. Lee, and this week Stonewall Jackson. Is it George Washington next? Is it a possibility that this movement to remove statues that honor people who were involved with slavery or involved with the Civil War will be taken down? Will it go as far as having a George Washington statue taken down?"
I don't think it necessarily leads in that direction. These are very different situations. Stonewall Jackson described slavery as basically a social order anointed by God. George Washington never said that. Thomas Jefferson never said that. Lee and Stonewall Jackson committed treason for a particular reason, which was to establish a nation which existed according to the primary source documents. If you look at the Mississippi Declaration of Secession, the Confederacy existed to protect and preserve slavery. The Mississippi Declaration of Secession is very clear. Our position is thoroughly identified with the institution of slavery, the greatest material interest of the world. Washington, Jefferson, other founders, these are people being honored for other things that they accomplished. So when you look at statuary and monuments, you have to say, well, what is being honored? There are people who we can argue about, many people. We can argue about any statue. But you have to be able to say that this person is being honored for a positive accomplishment. And in the case of Lee and Jackson, the only thing that they're being honored for is committing treason on behalf of the principle of the right of people to own slaves. That's very different from all the other people that everybody's arguing about. There should be debate. Communities should decide. One of the issues here is that there was no debate. These statues that were built in the late 19th, early 20th century were created, in many cases, by the United Daughters of the Confederacy. There was not public discussion. There was not public debate. And yet these were public spaces that were being occupied.
And finally, Jim, I want to get your take. What do you think should be done with the statue?
They should, in most cases, obviously, if there are 20 versions of the same statue, you don't necessarily need to keep all 20 versions, although you might want to. I think every community should decide what its mode of preservation should be, just like communities decide their other modes of historic preservation. These statues can go in museums. And even before they're moved to museums, they should be photographed so that where they sit in a particular space is well documented, so that we don't lose that sense of our past and the context of their creation.
James Grossman, thank you so much for taking time to talk with us today.
Oh, thank you for the invitation.
That was James Grossman, Executive Director of the American Historical Association, based in Washington, D.C. You're listening to Encounter on The Voice of America. Here's a reminder that our Encounter podcast is available for free download on iTunes. You can find the download by clicking on the iTunes tab on our website at voanews.com/encounter. Connect with us by email at encounter@voanews.com or check out our Facebook page at Carol Castiel VOA. While you're there, we would really appreciate if you took our brief online survey and tell us what you think of VOA's Encounter. And we thank you for your help. Today, we're discussing the controversy over whether statues erected years ago honoring those who led and fought for the Confederacy in the U.S. Civil War should be removed from public display because of what some perceive as racial insensitivity, or be allowed to remain untouched because of their historical and cultural importance. My next guest on today's program is John Daniel Davidson. He's the senior correspondent for the web publication The Federalist. Mr. Davidson recently wrote an article for the publication entitled Why We Should Keep the Confederate Monuments Right Where They Are. John, pro-statue people say the statues are a reflection of history and symbols of their heritage and culture. Now, on the other hand, those who are for the removal of the Confederate symbolism say they represent racism and honors those who fought to keep slavery alive. Your thoughts?
Well, I think it's understandable that some people would view these Confederate statues and monuments as symbols of slavery and symbols of racial animus and view them as painful reminders of our past. And indeed, they are. But I think that's a reason to keep them up. We don't need to keep these things up to honor Confederate generals who fought against the Union and who fought to preserve slavery. I think today, now that enough time has passed since the end of our Civil War, we can view these statues with cool heads, and they can be for us instead symbols of what we've overcome as a country and how we were able to come back together after the Civil War and really keep the country together. I think a lot of Americans don't realize how difficult it was to keep the country together after the Civil War. And these statues can be a reminder of a lot of things for us and a lot of our history that's painful to consider, not just the Civil War, but the era after the Civil War of Jim Crow and the era of the civil rights that came much later. It's complicated here because these statues have been up for a century, in some cases more than a century. So this isn't the case of the victors in a conflict tearing down statues or monuments or memorials in the immediate aftermath of a victory, like we saw in 2003 with the toppling of some statues of Saddam Hussein, or we saw in the fall of communism in the old Soviet Union and some statues of Lenin and others toppling. These have been with us. And so the statues and monuments themselves have a history that is part of our country, another layer of complexity on top of what the statues were commemorating in the first place. So a lot of these statues were erected in about the 50-year mark after the end of the Civil War, when a lot of Civil War veterans were dying, especially in the South. Up until that point, a lot of families of Civil War veterans, and especially the widows, the wives, and the mothers of Civil War Confederate dead, had not been allowed to care for those graves or erect monuments to them. And so around the turn of the century, that's when a lot of these things went up as a measure of reconciliation between the North and the South as this Civil War generation of veterans was beginning to die off. And I think that's important context to have when we think about these statues and when we think about what they meant at the time that they went up, not only what they meant in the context of the Civil War. But I think that we're able to do that as a country, and we have been able to do that for generations. And I think what's happening now is something different. I think what's happening now has less to do with the history and less to do with the symbolism and a lot more to do with contemporary political battles.
Has this turned into more of an argument or a debate about political ideologies, left versus right?
Absolutely it has. That's what this is all about. You know, we can talk about the history of these monuments and the history of lost cause symbolism and problems that America was facing in the early 20th century with waves of immigration coming in and problems in the South and in the North. We can talk about all that, but this isn't really about American history or the Civil War. And if it were, you would see a much different discussion than what we've had. For one thing, you wouldn't see these mobs tearing down statues, you know, and taking the rule of law into their own hands. You would see a much more deliberative process playing out at the local level, cities and towns and states deciding for themselves through a democratic process which statues to keep and which ones to take down. Now we've gone in a relatively short period of time from calling for Confederate statues to come down and then mobs tearing down Confederate statues to widespread calls for all kinds of statues to come down that have nothing to do with the Civil War. Honestly, we've seen this coming for several years now. You've seen the Democratic Party and progressives on the left calling for the eradication of references to George Washington, you know, James Madison, Thomas Jefferson, anyone associated with slavery in the past. And now we're seeing that again in the context of this debate. So I think this is a lot more about the polarization of our contemporary politics than it is about really any substantive disagreement or discussion about the past.
The statues, constructed mostly at the beginning of the 20th century, have been up for years. And then all of a sudden, there's the drive to take everything down. What do you think prompted that?
You know, one of the things I think is driving this, and this is kind of an uncomfortable thing to talk about, and that's why I think you don't hear a lot of people talking about it, but the fact is, there was a reason why the Democratic Party never called for these statues to be taken down and never made an issue out of the Confederate issue in the past. And that was because the Democratic Party relied upon white votes in the South and in parts of Appalachia and the Midwest. And they didn't want to rock the boat or to alienate a political constituency. But what has happened over the past 20 years or so is that a lot of these former Democratic voters, especially in the South, have migrated to the Republican Party. And I think a lot of progressive Democrats and sort of the left wing of the Democratic Party no longer feels that they need to court Southern whites at all. And so they're now willing to go after symbols of Southern heritage and Southern history without regard for the political consequences because they feel that it will help them shore up what they view now as their core constituency, which are liberal, progressive whites in coastal cities and minorities across the country. They feel kind of a new sense of freedom in going after these things that they didn't feel before. And that's really why you didn't hear any controversy about the Confederate statues in the past, because it wasn't seen as politically expedient, but now it is.
So finally, John, what do you think should be done with the statues?
I think the ultimate decision should be made by the local communities where these statues actually are housed. I have no problem with a city removing any statue. You know, the citizens who live in that city decide to vote and to lobby one another and try to persuade one another of their different views and make a decision about it and carry it out. That's how it should be. And that's one of the geniuses of America, is that we can do different things in different parts of the country. I think ideally what I would like to see is not fewer monuments and statues, but more of them. Let's add more context to these statues. Let's add, in cases where we have statues that glorify Confederate generals and sort of present a biased view of the Southern cause, let's add some plaques that give context not only to the Civil War, but to the history of that statue itself and that monument itself. Let's add statues of Black Americans in the South who resisted the Confederacy. Let's add statues of Southern Unionists. There were courageous Southern Unionists, even where I live here in Texas, you know, German immigrants who were for the Union, who were slaughtered by Confederate soldiers at the outset of the Civil War. Let's have a statue honoring them and bring more context and more subtlety and nuance and maybe even some compassion and humility to the discussion, and let there be a flowering of monuments across the South and the North.
John Davidson, thank you so much for taking time to talk with us about this very controversial issue.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
That was John Daniel Davidson, senior correspondent for the web publication The Federalist. This is Encounter on VOA. I am Rick Pantaleo for Carol Castiel. Today we're talking about the U.S. controversy over whether statues honoring the Confederacy should be torn down or allowed to remain where they are on public display. In our third and final segment of today's program, we talk with Ryan Lenz, senior investigative reporter with the Southern Poverty Law Center, a national civil rights organization based in Montgomery, Alabama. Ryan, what do the Confederate statues and memorials mean to you and those in your organization? What does it represent?
Well, I think Confederate statues represent sort of a historical reaction from white supremacist groups in regards to social change and progressive change. If you look at the creation of these statues and monuments, they don't coincide with some sort of heritage argument. They coincide with a response to major change across the country.
Writer-philosopher George Santayana once said, "Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it." So could these Confederate statues and memorials serve more as a reminder of our painful past and a warning not to repeat it, and not necessarily honoring Confederate leaders and soldiers?
Well, I disagree with that. I think that's exactly what these statues are for. They're for honoring the Confederate cause. And if you look at when these statues went up, they went up in response to the Civil Rights Movement in the 60s. They went up in regards to Jim Crow. These are not designed to honor Confederate soldiers. And even if they were, we have to remember what the Confederacy stood for.
Many of the statues have been up for decades, probably since the early 1900s. And until recently, you really didn't hear anyone demanding that they be taken down or that a school or a road named in honor of a Confederate be renamed. Why now? What do you see is the driving force behind the movement of removing the statues?
Well, I think this period of time is quite unique in American history. I mean, we have a president that regularly, you know, speaks to and blows dog whistles to extremist ideologies across the country. You know, let's talk about this in the context of a single moment where I think everything changed. You know, when Dylann Roof walked into that church and killed 9 parishioners, and then when it was uncovered or discovered what he was about, the causes that animated him, what he would, you know, what was driving him, much of it was, you know, a defense of the Confederacy. I think the conversation changed. These no longer were monuments, you know, that could conceal themselves as sort of heritage celebrations. These were monuments that stood for and had inspired hate, violent, extreme hate.
You mentioned President Trump, and while addressing a rally in Phoenix the other day, the president commenting on the statue controversy said, "They are trying to take away our culture. They are trying to take away our history." Your thoughts?
The president is parroting a line that has been you know, spoken from, you know, from the neo-Confederate movement for years, that being that this is not a celebration of hate, this is a celebration of heritage. But, you know, the question then becomes, like, well, is that true? And I don't believe that's true. I think that's a way to conceal the true message and the true symbology of what these symbols are, of what these monuments stand for. These monuments stand for white supremacy. I'm going to point you to it. This is an interesting one. In the town of Colfax, Louisiana, there is actually an obelisk in the town center that actually celebrates by name white supremacy and those who have stood to defend it. You know, so what you see when you look at these Confederate monuments, from street names to, you know, to giant stone things in the middle of a town center, what you see is not sort of like a celebration of the lost cause of the Confederacy and its losing battles. No, what you see is a very deeply concealed and veiled attempt to speak for white supremacy.
Has the tragedy in Charlottesville, Virginia recently impacted this controversy and debate over the statues and memorials? And if so, how?
This conversation really began, this debate began around Dylann Roof. Mm-hmm. You know, and then I think when Charlottesville happened, it became clear that, well, this was no longer just sort of, you know, two opposing sides of an argument. This was a group of people who, in this climate of extreme hate and intolerance, in this climate of legitimized extremism, you know, the debate about the Confederacy, the Confederate monuments, became different. It was about a group of people who were willing to kill those who disagreed with them.
And finally, Ryan, if the statues were to remain where they are, how could groups such as yours change the narrative, the backstory behind them, so people, instead of seeing them as honoring vestiges of slavery and racism, see something else?
Well, I think that's the challenge. And there are going to be people, you know, who take a hard stance with this argument, you know, because their ancestors fought in the Civil War for the Confederacy, or because they're from the South and they're proud to be such. But I think the point is that in this day and age, in August 2017, these monuments have inspired the Confederacy, and defense of the Confederacy have inspired, you know, acts of horrific domestic terrorism. Dylann Roof and what happened in Charlottesville. This is not to be dismissed as sort of just an argument where people disagree on it. No, this is an issue that is inspiring the extreme radical right to commit horrible acts of violence.
Ryan Lenz, thank you so much for sharing your insights on this issue.
Thank you so much.
That was Ryan Lenz, senior investigative reporter with the Southern Poverty Law Center, a national civil rights organization based in Montgomery, Alabama. And I'm afraid that's all the time we have on this edition of Encounter. I'd like to thank all three of my guests for appearing on today's program. Encounter was produced in Washington, D.C. I'd like to thank Rebecca Ward for booking our guests, as well as our broadcast technicians, Keith Holmes, Rob McLean, and Cornelius Tenner. I'm Rick Pantaleo. Be sure to join Carol Castiel again next week for another Encounter on The Voice of America.